Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's do this. Hour number three with Dan Devone and Jim Cozumel. And we're cruising through a Saturday. Thanks very much for listening to 95.7 The Game. Whether it's regular radio, just driving around the Bay Area, or you've got us on the Odyssey app. Always great to use the Odyssey app. Do it. You get the best sports content around. We promise you. We promise you. You get the best sports content around. Download the Odyssey app. Get 95.7 The Game. Give it a big heart or a like or whatever you want to do, and then you can listen to it each and every day. Dan, this, by the way, we also understand the importance of today. 20 years ago, we were attacked on our shores, and we understand sports also had something to do with the healing process of that time. Do you remember what you were doing or where you were 20 years ago when 9/11 happened, Dan?
Yeah, it was my first year in Seattle. I was at an airport. And I was going to cover the Mariners. It was the year they won 116 games with Ichiro and company.
Oh.
And they were, it was obviously in September. And so they were making this historic push. And we decided that we were going to cover them. And we were going to do shows following certain games. And they were going to Los Angeles to take on the Angels. I was at the airport and I was scheduled to leave that morning. And obviously, that's when things took place, and we were informed that no flights were going to be leaving not only Seattle, but throughout the entire country. And, of course, it was complete bedlam and insanity. And I'll never forget that I did a show right after that. And you know how difficult it is. I used to host I would do the – like that. You mentioned Mark Abanez. I sort of was the Mark Abanez of Seattle. But then on Sunday nights, I would do a half-hour show.
Yep.
And you know how difficult it is for your producers to sort of book some of the named guests. Gary Payton would blow you off, or we try and get Mike Holmgren. Well, we decided to do that Sunday night was to bring in all the named athletes in the area. Holmgren, Gary Payton, Ken Griffey Jr., Ichiro – and just have them come around, Pat Gillick, who was the general manager at the time of the Seattle Mariners, bring them into studio and for half an hour just talk about what had happened and what level of sports plays in this. And none of them blew us off. In fact, we had to turn guys away. Our studio was filled, and we just did this round table, and it was so heartfelt. And they also did a really good job of talking about what level sports plays in all of this and how it could be this positive diversion. But where they were as a country, their heartfelt emotion, it was this unification between not only the media and the people we cover, but it was just pervasive throughout the entire, you know, certainly throughout Seattle.
Yeah.
A moment in time I certainly will never forget. How about yourself,
amazing.
Jim?
Because I know in Seattle, Seattle's a great sports town. People might not know this. Seattle is a great sports town, right? They love their Mariners. They love their Seahawks. They used to love their Sonics. I mean, they loved their Sonics. Unfortunately, couldn't get an arena built, and so they ended up moving. But and they love their college sports, Seattle. Hey, UW is right there in Seattle. So, you know, the excuse that, well, you know, in the Bay Area, you don't have great college sports because it's a pro town. I've always thought Seattle's a great sports town. And to hear the accumulation of stars that you had come in, that is remarkable because you guys had some of the greatest stars in the game's history, no matter what the sport we're talking about.
Yeah, A-Rod was there.
A-Rod was there.
Oh yeah, it was incredible.
Ken Griffey Jr. and A-Rod.
Yeah, they
together,
were, and they were, and they had been on the show before, but never to this level. And they all had a message. They all wanted to reach out to people. I've never seen them that effusive when it comes to, you know, it's like interviewing these guys.
Sure,
but they all felt as though and. Holmgren and company, they're not outspoken people in that regard, and they all felt as though they had a duty to be there, to get on camera, and sort of let everyone know that we're going to be okay and get through this. They recognize their position. Say what you will, and I said a lot about Ken Griffey Jr. and the before mentioned and some of those players, and I did it on the air, but when it came to a moment like this, where you felt the sense of community, and that you felt the sense of pride, that they felt as though, because of their positioning in the community, that it was upon themselves, they took it upon themselves to provide this role of leadership and to use their voice as an emissary to relay this message that we will be okay and that we need to come together and that they were there for them. It was so powerful to see and witness at the sports level. But how about yourself? Let me put it back on you.
Sure.
Where were you, Jim?
Mine was a much different experience. I was out of the country in Mexico at the time and woke up to there was a plane into the building. And then it was confusing because you were ever. I think the first one, most people thought, horrible mistake. Something wrong in the cockpit. Maybe something happened to one of the pilots. And then when another one went in, I was still more confused. You never thought that you would get attacked. And so here I was in Mexico at the time and I was on vacation. And so we were staying in a place where their job was to make sure everyone had fun. I'm an American in Mexico wanting to follow up on the news and watch one of the news channels. And so I kept getting into arguments with the staff because I wanted a TV to be on the news channel. And they said, no, we want to have music playing. We want to have joy and happiness. And so it was a time that was much different. But I was in Mexico and you could see the Americans there gradually understanding what went on. But I was isolated there because they shut down all flights and you ended up staying longer than you were supposed to because you couldn't get back home. And then when you traveled, you couldn't carry the things back home that you could carry there. And life just became so much different. But man, that experience you had with all the athletes coming in, that was phenomenal. That sounds like a real moment. And I hope, here it is 20 years later, I hope back in Seattle, that station is going back over what went on 20 years ago and how you guys did try to bring people together. Because I think that's the overriding factor. Sport was utilized as a unifying factor. President George W. Bush stood on the bump at Yankee Stadium and fired a strike. You know, and he was wearing that the bulletproof vest. The NFL had that 100-yard flag unfurled on all the NFL stadiums, and we came together. And I'm seeing it here today. The encouragement that you see today with so many ceremonies at all these different college football games that are going on right now, I'll be honest, I hope it helps us kind of come together as people because we're seeing people – race, creed, color, religion, faith, doesn't matter. The differences that you'll see at a game, they're all together, hand over heart, and whether it's God Bless America or someone holding the flag, you know, for this moment, we're kind of coming together. And so I hope that we can continue to have some of that positive, some of the positives of us being together as a country, what it brings. But that was just a scary, scary, ugly, horrible time. And sports was part of the healing factor.
Yeah, so that year, if you recall, things got delayed on the baseball season in September as well as the football season. And then they resumed. And there was so much talk about, well, you know, what about the Niners or the Mariners in this incredible season? Are they going to cancel the season? Well, they obviously resumed the campaign. That was the year that the Mariners had to go to New York and take on the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I traveled to New York, and I was doing shows back to the West Coast on television. Let me tell you something. So we were there in the playoffs. So this was early October. It was less than a month since 9/11. And I was in New York. I'll never forget the feeling in New York City and at Yankee Stadium. It's not like anything I've ever seen. people just wanted to cheer. They wanted to cheer for New York. They wanted to pull for the Yankees. They wanted to just be vocal that we're still here as a country. We're still unified as a people. It was so much more than a baseball game. And I remember telling people on the air, the Mariners are playing much more than the Yankees right now. And then I would say off the air to my producers and anybody who's listening, there's no way in hell they're going to beat New York. This city is not going to let them do that. And they got waxed by New York, but the electricity, and this was when Giuliani, before he became the sort of lunatic he is now, Giuliani, the mayor of New York, and Giuliani throughout the electricity in that stadium, I am telling you, it was palpable and nothing I've ever seen, and it was... And I don't mean to get theatrical. I apologize if I'm going a whole nother level here, but it was well beyond a baseball game. It was well beyond a sporting event. It was people that just wanted to come together. They wanted to cheer, and they wanted to be heard and let everyone in the world know that they were still together and here and stronger than ever.
I think that's well said. I mean, you were in a unique position in a unique place at a unique time, and to be there, to feel that, to sense that, you're right. It wasn't a baseball game. It wasn't a playoff game. It wasn't whatever the series was. It was a completely different time in our existence, and sport was a big piece to that puzzle, especially being in New York. And you know, where that is There were raw nerves at that time. There are still raw nerves over this entire situation, but you were there at its most raw, and I think people, Americans, needed it. There was a big push. I think there was a big push at one point. Even, you know, the Olympic Committee said, let's give New York the Olympic Games. Let's make sure that we give them all the positives that we can. You know, sports was trying to reach out and push towards healing for New York. And listen, I've often said this is when New York found out what America is really like, because I think that people on the coasts don't quite understand the love. But how many people, firefighters, first responders, how many came from California to help? How many came from the middle of the country, Iowa? How many times do we hear stories of Nebraskans, Iowans, Illinoisans, Michiganders, Californians, Nevadans going to New York, just showing up? And I'm going to get emotional. Just showing up randomly, Dan, to help. They weren't asked to. They weren't told to. They didn't really have a job responsibility, but they had a skill set, and they wanted to be there to help them heal. That is what America's soul is, right there. And you got a chance to experience that at the ballgame. Whew. I know it's a terrible thing to have to experience, but boy, you were in some place that could be life-changing for many people.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget not seeing the Twin Towers, because you heard, obviously you were aware of what took place, but then to be in New York and not see the Twin Towers no longer standing, that if there's a gut punch in this world, that was it. To see those things are actually no longer there; they're on the ground. That hits you square between the eyes, man. And there was, you know, there was just something special about New York at that time and about the country that, you know, I can't say I haven't. I remember they would sing at the seventh inning, they would do God Bless America.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing that post 9/11 during that season. And I'll never forget being at Yankee Stadium. And you know Yankee Stadium. I mean, it can be as hostile as anywhere else.
And that was the original Yankee Stadium, right?
Yes.
Not the new Yankee Stadium.
Before they moved. Yes,
right.
Yes. The monuments were still
there. The house that Ruth built.
And I remember I'm not one to watch games from a press box. I like to be out in the stands, and I'll, you know, go up to the press box if I have to. I'm not a press box guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down with I had a press pass, an auxiliary press pass, and I was just sort of standing during God Bless America in the stands. And this woman who I didn't know, you don't see this in New York, just reached out and held my hand. And then I was expected to do this. Oh, you didn't see this in New York. And there was just, I mean, it was one of those moments that, as tragic as that was, the response, especially when, and I can only see it through the lens of sports, to recognize what I saw as a television sportscaster was something that I'll never forget.
Yep, absolutely. And listen, the world is, you know, it's a complicated place. There are many different people with different beliefs and different thoughts. But there are times when we are able to put those things aside. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes tragedy for that to happen. And then there is that unifying force, and sport happened to be it on that day. And it's a very important thing to remember that sport can be there for the greater good. And hopefully that, you know, it is again one day, and hopefully we never have to go through such a circumstance. But if you were, you know, whatever your memory was from 9/11, we'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. You can text it to us, or you can get us on the phone lines, like our good friend Gutter Trash in the PDX, who I think was working that day. Gutter Trash, how you doing, my friend? Welcome into 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
All right, man.
It's a little loud. I'm actually working right now, but yeah, Dan, you and I were actually at the same spot. I was working CTAC that day.
You were at CTAC?
I lived in Seattle from 88 to 2006. And I knew your voice was memorable for a reason. I just couldn't put a thumbtack on it. But,
Hey, what do you remember about the airport that day, Gutter Trash? Like, did it instantly shut down? Did you?
It was mass confusion. But go ahead, Gutter.
I can imagine.
We had the last flight off CTAC that day, and it ended up being rerouted to Madison, Wisconsin, where we didn't even fly to. And everything was shut down at the airport for 3-4 days. And they told us we didn't even need to come in if we didn't want to, because the TSA was being formed at that very moment.
Yeah, everything that changed travel. There's no question about it. I can imagine. Gutter, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And he's a P1 on the Odyssey app. We appreciate that as well. Download the Odyssey app, and you can always be a part of the program with 888-957-9570. But we're seeing today in college football especially a number of tributes, and obviously you will see it tomorrow with the National Football League. I'm assuming Major League Baseball will do the same. You'll start to see more and more of that, but this will be 20 years. It started this morning. Many people may have gotten up in the national networks, you know, with their coverage of the different locations, the Pentagon, New York, out in Pennsylvania. But sports is definitely a piece to it, Dana. And I think we should always remember sports was a piece to the beginning of healing. Maybe you never do truly heal, but maybe it was that fabric that helped us all in some ways come together.
Yeah, and part of this for me is that, and COVID was similar in this way, that, you know, we live such insular lives these days, especially with the advance of modern technology. And there's a generation of people today that are just head down in their tablet, that text, or people that just say so insular that it's about me making money and doing what it is that I do. And sometimes, whether it's COVID again or 9/11, and you realize that life, there's much more to it. There's much more to it in terms of being able to communicate with others, coming together as a people, something that is beyond your control, that doesn't, you know, that's not about the workplace. It's not necessarily about, you know, this little world that you've built for. And I don't mean to go on a tangent here, but sometimes in a weird way, creating this sense of people having to look out beyond themselves, beyond their own scope, and recognize that there are other things that are more important than just my little narrow view of the world from time to time can be beneficial in a weird way.
Yep. I think you're absolutely right. And it'll be very interesting and sobering to see a lot of the tributes that go on throughout the sporting world over the next 48 hours. And so thank you very much for being a part of it. I know I thought it was important just to mention the fact that, listen, we understand there's a gravity to today. We understand the date, 9/11. It's a big date in America's history, and for a pretty horrible reason. But you can cobble some good together from it, and sports was able to be a part of that. We've got more to come. Dan DeVone and Jim Cozumel with you, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Giants are getting ready to play the Chicago Cubs. I want to get into the Giants a little bit more, Dan. We opened the show with them. I want to look at the rest of their schedule. I know I said I wanted to look at the 49ers schedule, so I'm schedule boy today. Nothing but schedules the rest of the show. For the next hour and a half, we're going to look at nothing but schedules. Work schedules, we're going to go over those. whatever it takes, we will get there. But I want to look at the Giants schedule, because as much as I believe they're going to win the National League West, they're going to get some tests along the way. And will that ready them for a long playoff run? That's all ahead. You can join us at 888-957-9570. It's Devone and Coz right here on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Lopez wants it away.
And it's hit deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run by Piazza. And the Mets lead 3-2.
Take a look at this. He's got as much power as anybody. He's got the arms extended. A long home run. And a curtain call.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
One of those great moments after 9/11, bringing people together, an exciting play on a sporting field. That was a home run by Mike Piazza, the first home run hit in New York following 9/11. And again, you can hear, as Dan, as you said, you know, the outpouring of emotion was so huge. I know the Yankees and Mets are playing this weekend. I think that probably is going to be one heck of an event to watch. But yeah, that you could just hear in the voices what it meant to be able to. Is cathartic the right word? Kind of a release that people were able to have?
Sure.
Okay.
I think it's a perfect word.
Yeah.
How about you hearing the name Yaya? Haven't heard that in a while.
Boy, I
Mike
know, huh?
Piazza. Well, the pizza man.
That's how long ago it was, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know. Think about that. All right, Dan Devone, Jim Cosimo with you here at 95.7 The Game. I've called this the schedules portion of the program. Giants, it's interesting. They've been getting fat off Colorado. They got the job done against the Dodgers. I told everyone, Dan, the four-game losing streak, they're going to get hot. They had the four-game losing streak earlier this year. They won 7-9. It's going to happen again. They're going to get hot again. They took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, swept Colorado to get the Cubs this weekend. But then they're coming home. You've got San Diego. San Diego's fighting for a playoff spot. You've got Atlanta. Atlanta's in first place in their division. You go to San Diego after that. Do you put any extra level of importance on these 10 games? Because they are against teams that have some a level of playoff value.
Oh, they're all huge from here on out. Everything is just gigantic. Atlanta's tough. San Diego, you're right. They're not as... They've rebounded, and just when I think everybody was ready to hand in, what's the dog's name?
Snickers.
Let's just get Snickers his own show.
I know. I apologize.
Every time I want to talk, Snickers has got to trump me and go.
Well, Snickers is unhappy with what you're saying right here.
Yeah, what's Snickers? Why is Snickers? Is Snickers one of those dogs that every time the doorbell rings or just something happens outside, it's
yes.
barking? Okay.
Something walks by. A car drives up. She is in attack mode. I told you. It is 12 pounds of fury, and no matter where I go, I do not have a mansion. I am a humble man with humble means, and I would love to be in a wing all my own, but unfortunately, the setup here does not allow for it. I may, after the next break, decide to go outside and do the show from outdoors. Maybe I'll do that.
So I've always been curious, when these little dogs that will yap at me or anyone else, if you were to release them, what is it that they're going to do? Do they at some point recognize just how small they are, and then they sort of back off, or do they go full attack?
They go at it.
Oh, wow.
They go at it. They go at it, and it's rare when you have full-on fighting, but they will let you know they are there. They will take a, you know, they will bark at a heavy level, and they will maybe take a snap at your pant leg. But then once they're comfortable with you, you're fine.
I know people like that.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I know. We work with them at 95.7 The Game, quite frankly. Some of them might be on the air now. You don't know. We did the whole dog training thing. And you know what the thing is about dog training, Dan? Once you've trained the dog, you have to keep up with that.
Yeah.
And we find that, you know, we don't. We don't keep up with it.
Who's closer to the dog? Is it you, the kids, the wife?
I treat it the best, but it has more of an affinity for my wife. Mm. So, yeah, I'm there to feed it, to walk it twice a day. I'm, you know, everything. But that dog loves my wife. And so, and again, it was a rescue dog from the streets of Modesto. I sometimes wonder if it was mistreated because it does not like men who wear sunglasses. So I was wondering if, you know, maybe there's a reason for that went on.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
And it can detect the sunglasses.
Yep. Yep. There's something about a man coming in with sunglasses and that dog is unhappy.
So the same man can come in without the sunglasses and your dog's okay.
It's still going to bark, but it's not the same ferocious attack mode. Yeah, there's some seriousness there. But the dog is always looking for a fight. Always. And then in the end, sitting next to you. Like, you come over, Dan. Hey, let's say you want to come over and you want to watch a little Sunday NFL action. Dog will be going ape. My wife will put it in the office. I will let the dog out because I think it's cruel to leave the dog in an office. And, you know, it's not like she's not getting on the computer. She's not going to go, you know, do our taxes. So let the dog out and be a dog. That dog went dog, right? And then he's going to come out, he's going to bark, then she's going to sniff, then she's going to walk around, and then eventually will jump on the chair next to you and, like, burrow herself right next to your hip.
Oh, yeah, that's good dog.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm good with dogs. Dogs can sense that I've got a good soul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those that they'll still stay angry at for a while. Obviously, when you walk in, doesn't know who I am, I'll get the treatment.
Sure. Sure. Now, I do know that a lot of people say it's a yappy dog. Well, you know what? I'd rather have that than those big, slobbery ass, jumping around 120-pounders that, you know, people who own them go like, oh, they're just playing. They're just playing. Yeah, they're just playing with my $1,000 suit, okay? So why don't you put a muzzle on that mutt and chain it up? Because I don't want it sniffing my crotch as I'm walking through the house, okay? That's where I am with those big. I like everyone who doesn't like the little dogs. Guess what? My dog's 12 pounds. One day it will eventually pass. In the future, I will have 2 5-pound dogs, Nutmeg and Cinnamon. That is when my life is going to be complete.
Ben Cinnamon's.
So what sort of dogs are sort of in between the
teacup poodle? Love the teacup poodle.
Wow.
Love the...
Is teacup, is that a poodle mix or that straight poodle?
That's straight poodle, but it's somehow they've figured out a way to make it, you know, between 5 and 10 pounds. And, you know, it fits in a teacup. I love those dogs. I love the little dogs. They're little... And I don't know many dog breeds, but there's another breed that's very tiny, and I just adore those dogs. I don't know why. Love them.
See, I like the poodle mix.
Okay.
I like if you can do a little noodle. Oh, those are great dogs.
Okay.
The poodles got attitude. Just the straight up poodle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're.
I've
seen poodles. Poodles will snap at you, too. Poodles can be mean dogs. Poodles, I'd put sort of in the. I'm trying to think of the comparable here in 95.7. They're sort of in the strange category. They do their own thing, man.
Hello.
No, Ray's straight up bulldog.
Yep. Yeah. And then, I wonder, you know what? We should do that on the website. Match the on-air personalities with the type of dog they are.
Bulldogs, they got to stop making. Those things are just miserable.
Slobbery ass. They are.
No, but after, like, they have about 4 good months of life, and then they're just in pain, and you just feel bad for them. I've never seen a bulldog beyond the age of, like, 1.5 that's enjoying life. I mean, they're just...
What's the French bulldog? Isn't that the new hot dog that all the celebrities are getting?
Yeah, they're ugly.
Is that the one with the mushed face where they snort, they don't breathe, they just kind of snort?
Well, all bulldogs sort of do that, but they're a little, they're cuter, I guess, between the two, but...
They are? Okay.
I mean, they just got to stop breeding those things. They're not happy people. Dogs, rather.
And truth be known, I would have, a couple more dogs and a couple more cats. I got a dog and a cat, and I'd have a couple of dogs and a couple of cats, and I'd have 3 more kids if I could. So, love having all that activity going on. But, you know what? That's the world.
Oh,
I got what I got.
Can you read out that 707 on the text line?
Oh, let me take a peek here, because it's if I know the text line, it's coming with some hate. 707, as a delivery driver, I can tell you the poodles are the most aggressive dogs in my experience.
Yeah, I told you.
Lobo, right on it.
Yeah, people think that the poodle is just something that you shave and give those sort of, cute little dudes. Those dogs, don't mess with them, man. They're weirdos.
347, big dogs equal big dumps. That's right. You got to clean the yard,
My
There's a lot
knowledge
there.
It ain't up there.
What about the 160-pound Great Dane jumps around and he doesn't sniff the crotch? I just know they jump on you with such ferocity, and I get it. The owner always says, oh, they're just playing. They're just playing. They're just playing with my expensive outfit. Okay? I've neatly coordinated this. Even if it's just shorts and a golf shirt and a nice pair of sneaks, I have come to your house with a level of decorum. Tell your dog to treat me as such. That's what I want. I've brought flowers and a wine. I'm dressed neatly. I comb my hair. Got a haircut this week. So have your dog sit it down. Okay? I'm telling you, you go visit people with big dogs, all you're doing all day is playing the Heisman. Right? Heisman. Boom. Arm out all the time. Pushing them down.
What are you doing with the hair these days? Around the ears? Are we just a little off the top? Or are you at that point where you got to be really careful because there's not a lot to work with? Or are you getting sort of, do you try and stay trendy?
No, I don't. I've had the same haircut since I was in third grade. Basically the same cut, maybe a different length, but the same cut. Every once in a while, it has changed on mistake. Like maybe I've changed the part to the other side because I don't want to carve a part into my hair. I'm getting a little older. You save what you got. And
you still part your hair with a comb?
Yep. I can now. It's so I could just you get out of the shower. I could just use my hands. It'll be fine. But yeah, I do not stay trendy. I do not have spiky. I do not have long. I don't have a mullet. I have normal suburban dad hair. That's what I've got.
Did you ever get into the mullet craze?
When I was in college, I did have a little bit. It wasn't the flow that you'll see pitchers in Major League Baseball have now. I didn't have that flow, but I had a mullet.
It was a
refined mullet, though.
Anybody out there that has pictures of you in a mullet, please come forward at 95.7.
I may have that. But again, it was refined. It was tight. I kept it tight.
Somehow you would make the mullet look neat.
Yeah. Yeah, you had it. It was edged. I had it edged in the back, but yeah, it was, what was it?
You weren't John Crook.
No, his had a little flow to it. His had a little sloppy, and what do you know? Maybe I should have gone with that style, but I am the person, I swear, you can get a picture of me 10 years ago. This is what I looked like. Get a picture 20 years ago. This is what I look like. It's it.
Just void of the Winnie Pooh sweatshirt or t-shirt.
And I will. That's true. Good point. That's good, because that one is too good to wear. It's too good to wear. I'll tell you, though, I do look the same over the years, but in my people, I'm Polish, I will look this way until I'm 60. Like, I'm 59, 364 days, I'm going to look great. And then when I turn 60, I look 60. When I turn 60 in one day, I look 61. It will hit me fast. Like, we go from, I have a decent look for an older man, but once I hit 60, it's going down.
Do the Coase men lose their hair? Is balding something that you have to worry about?
My dad eventually did. My grandfather on my mom's side, who I never met, he had a full, thick, luscious head of hair.
Well, so that's good, right? Because it's not on your paternal side.
Yes, yes. So I'm hoping that I get to keep my hair for a lot longer.
Poodles are the, I'm reading from the text line, the 707 poodles on the Jose Altuve.
Yep.
On the J.J. Bray of dogs.
Yep. Two quality athletes right there is what I say. Back to sports we go with Devon and Coase at 888-957-9570. Are there teams in the National League that scare you a little bit?
I love that we just go from.
I know.
We just go from the mullet to. Are there teams in the National League that scare Milwaukee. Milwaukee scares the
people. I agree. You know what? I'm not scared of the Dodgers. I'm not scared of the Padres. I'm not scared of the Braves. The Brewers are a team that scares me, Dan.
Yeah, the pitching. And they got an offense, too. And you know, we talk about the Giants sort of flying under the radar. Maybe because we just don't live in that part of the world. I don't hear enough about that team because they're dangerous, man. I think the best threesome in baseball when it comes to starting pitching. And you can just sort of end it right there. But then you've got players that can hit and field. I mean, I think that it comes down because I think they're going to see it land in the postseason. I think the Giants are going to end up with the Dodgers. The Giants take care of the Dodgers, and what's going to be epic. I mean, heads are going to explode when you talk about the Giants and the Dodgers playing in the postseason.
True.
And then it's going to be the Giants and the Brewers, and just hang on to something for that to see who goes to the World Series.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you on that one. I think it will be a Brewers-Giants series would be fantastic to watch, but the Brewers are a team because of that starting pitching, like you say. Here we were earlier in the show talking about the Giants bullpenning. The Milwaukee Brewers can put together a staff, and then they get to the bullpen, and it can be lights out. So that would scare me somewhat, and that's why I'm intrigued by a San Diego series, an Atlanta series, to see how the Giants would perform, to see if they can hang in there. And then, you know, real quick, I'll dip my toe into the American League because I think the A's still have a shot, and they do. You're only a game out of the wild card, but you got five teams separated by two games playing for that wild card. Tampa Bay is in it. I love Tampa Bay. Do you believe Tampa Bay has a nine-game
Amazing.
Lead? A nine-game lead in their division.
Hey, can we bring in Ev, our star producer, Ev Gidding? Anytime we talk A's, we just go to Ev, who just lives the ebb and flow. He was in tears a week ago.
Yes.
Ev, where are we at with the A's? Give us an update.
I'm back on the bandwagon, boys.
There you go.
The A's are a game out of the wild card. Thankfully, the Yankees, after rattling off, 13 straight, decided to lose seven in a row, opened up the door. It's cracked just a little bit. Tiny bit of jar, and the A's are trying to force their way through. So they're a game back of the wild card. They won three in a row. They'll probably lose today in heartbreaking fashion because I'm talking about them like this.
Come on, you count on that.
But dude, I'm back on the bandwagon.
What are you doing with the reverse jinx? Don't give me that. I'm gonna say they're gonna lose and hopefully they win. Come on. Texas has been a thorn in their side all year, stinking long. They have got to take advantage of Texas Rangers in town this weekend.
Thankfully, they don't have Kyle Gibson or Joey Gallo anymore. I know those guys were world beaters toward the middle and beginning parts of the season, but you're right. It's for some reason, the Rangers just give the A's fits no matter where they're at. So, you know, hopefully they can take advantage. I know yesterday they began the game with a nice little six spot in their early innings to give their starting pitchers some support, but It's a revolving door in the starting rotation right now for the A's. So if it's not Manaea or Montas, I'm not really sure what's going down.
So, Ev, forget about the Yankees and the Jays catching them. Can they get past the Mariners?
Yes. The Mariners are the team that is going to be in the wild card hunt until game one, I'll say 58. Game 158 is generally around when they get to the promised land. They just peek over the top of the mountain. They see the lush green land of honey, and then they roll back down the hill.
Well, listen, the A's get the Mariners seven times the last 2 weeks of the season. They get the Astros six times. And remember how the A's season started. Evan, I mean, it what was it, 0-6 to start the year?
Riding the wave, boys. Just ride the wave.
Now's the time to get hot. Maybe this is the series where it all turns for them, and they can get hot after that horrid stretch where it looked like they played themselves out of the playoff spot, and or out of the wild card spot. man, they're right back in the thick of it. You get hot now, guys. You get hot now. That's the kind of stuff that carries you through that wild card game into a playoff round. They might be picking the right time to get hot right now.
Yeah, perfect timing. Getting back to the Rays, my goodness, how do they do it?
I have no idea.
It's amazing.
I have no idea.
In that division, and Ev's right, we talk about the Yankees hot and cold, win 13, lose 7. I mean, but here's, and we talk about the Red Sox, and you talk about the American League East. But there are the Rays, and it's not like they just overtook first place. They're running away and hiding from people.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, too, Dan? They'll have a great pitcher like Snell, and then they'll make a run, and then they trade Snell, and you're thinking, well, they're just going to tear it down. They're going to get rid of all their good guys, and then they're even better the next year.
Incredible.
How do you become better by trading your best pitcher?
Well, you know, maybe sort of the Giants are an offshoot of all of that because it's more than just talent, right?
Yep.
And the A's to a certain degree. They're doing it a different way there. They're not the Yankees. They don't have that bankroll that let's just go out and outspend everybody and go get all-stars. It's not the Dodgers' way of doing things, but man alive, they are incredible.
In the American League, and this is why I'm going to petition this every year, 1 through 15, screw it with the divisional stuff. That's trash. Give me 1 through 15, and the top five teams make the playoffs. That's what, or, you know, you got a wild card game, so you can, what do you have? Six teams make the playoffs. You have the, or what would it be? Five? No, five, because 5 and 4 play for the play in, and then they get to finish off the series. So the top five teams get into the playoffs. Because right now, Tampa has no reason to finish the season out. They're 9 games up in their division. The White Sox have no reason to finish the season out. They're 11 games up in a horrible Central Division. Astros, 5.5 games up. That, virtually insurmountable. Virtually insurmountable. The divisions are already taken care of. The only thing we're looking at is wild card right now.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And it provides incentive, obviously, for those teams. And then it also eradicates into those teams that happen to be in a really good division that miss out in getting into the postseason because they don't finish in that top five.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I know. In fact, you know, the White Sox, you know, it's funny. The Red Sox could, you know, it's a team like the Red Sox could finish with more wins than the White Sox and not make the playoffs.
Really quick, and just going back to your childhood growing up in Chicago.
Yeah.
How is this breaking down right now? Now, if it's the Cubs in first place, everybody knows about it because it's the White Sox. I mean, is it just that part of town? I mean, who's getting behind the White Sox in the city of Chicago?
You know, you're the Southsiders are getting behind them. The ones whose grandparents were White Sox fans, the sons and daughters who are the sons and daughters who are, they're like the opposite kids. My parents like this, so I'm going to like that. Those are the ones who are following the White Sox. Are they getting sellout crowds each and every day, each and every night? No. Are they getting, no, their viewership is up. Their listenership is up, but it's nothing like when the Cubs are relevant. Nothing at all. Like when the Cubs are even good, they don't even have to be. Cubs don't even have to be fighting for something. The Cubs have a great rating. But they're the second team in town. They're just the second team in town, and they've got a Hall of Fame manager. They've got, you know, some of the best talent in Major League Baseball. It's just the way they run the organization. They will be the second team in town. That's just the way it is.
Does part of it stem from where they play out there? And I mean, it's not as desirable nearly as much
no.
as going out to Wrigley.
That's a great point. The area around it, it's not the same. There aren't the same types of things to do. You go to Wrigley Field with a different vibe. I've lost count of the number of my Giants friends who made the trek to Chicago this weekend to see the Giants and the Cubs at Wrigley Field. And it's just there's an aura about going to Wrigley Field, and that's what it is, that aura of around the ballpark. And Dan, I don't know if you've been there, but you get there, you're around the ballpark, you're riding the L, you're having fun before, during, and after the game. You can go to Wrigley Field, not have a ticket for the game, and have more fun outside the ballpark at the different bars and taverns around than you would inside most any other Major League ballpark.
Never seen that many sports bars in one area.
I know. It's crazy.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're right. The new Comiskey, the old Comiskey.
Yeah.
Wow, that's just the middle of nowhere and also a dangerous part of town, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a little bit rougher part of town. It was not able to, you know, we talk about building facilities and it can change a region. Well, they knocked down businesses and homes to build the new Comiskey Park. And then in the old Comiskey Park's place, they built a parking lot. So, you know, now that was years and years ago. They have done upgrades. There are some things, but it's not, you know, that old saying that you hear. It's not like it used to be. It's true. It's not like it used to be. Babe Ruth used to go to the old Comiskey Park, play a doubleheader. Between games, he would run across the street to a tavern, grab a couple of hot dogs and a beer, come back and play the second game. Those are real stories that happen. Those are real stories. Well, they knocked down that whole row of shops and homes in order to build a new ballpark, and it wasn't the best neighborhood, you know, at that point. So it's a shame. I can't remember the last time I was at Sox Park to see the White Sox play.
I had to do a live shot out in front of the new Comiskey Park.
Yeah.
And so obviously it's, you know, it's after the game, but because of the time differential, they were 2 hours ahead. So we were going live and it was after a night game. So it's like 11, maybe close to midnight. And I remember there was that housing project. I think it was Cabrini Green or something.
Yes.
And there was like these little pops. And one of the – we were using the satellite, the sat truck of the local affiliate in Chicago. And they said, yeah, those are gunshots. And I'm like, all right, well, let's hurry up this live shot so I can get back to my cozy hotel. Really quick before we hit the break, was that the location of Disco Night? Was it Comiskey?
Old Comiskey Park was Disco Demolition Night.
Disco Demolition
with Steve Dahl, and he's the on-air personality who had that. He worked at a station 98.7, so if you paid 98 cents, you got a ticket to the game. It was a doubleheader between the Tigers and the White Sox, and they were going to blow up disco records between the two games. They blew up people were crawling in over the railings to get in. They jumped on the field. And if you watch there's a documentary on the Bee Gees. That is when the Bee Gees, their careers started to turn negative because of that very event. But watch that documentary, and you'll see Disco Demolition Night from Comiskey Park. I want to say it was 81. I could be wrong. 79 to 81, right in that general range.
So 98.7, that was like a hard rock station,
yes.
I'm assuming?
Yes, hard rock station. Yep. And that was something. We got to step aside. We are late for the break because that's what I'm known for here at 95.7 The Game. So we got Devone and Coase. 49ers schedule, because it's schedule segment here. Final hour to come. I wait till you hear how many layup wins I have the 49ers with already, and they haven't played it down. All right? 888-957-9570. Dan Devone, Jim Cozumel, 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.